Hello, and welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast. We release these episodes every week on Wednesday mornings, and the best way to support us is by clicking subscribe and taking a moment to rate the podcast wherever you are listening. If you'd like to support our efforts to keep the nonprofit Meditation Center open in Nashville, you can donate via Venmo by sending your donation to @WildHeartNashville, or you can make a donation through our website, wildheartmeditationcenter.org, by clicking the donate tab. Peace and love. Hope you enjoy.
The topic I have for tonight is tea with Mara. So who's Mara and why would we want to be having tea with him? Mara in the Buddhist tradition is the representation of the devil. He's the evil one. He's kind of the antagonist and the bad guy in the story of the Buddha. And if you're anything like me, you're quite sick of these stories of good guys versus bad guys, that we need to banish and conquer evil with good. And this story of tea with Mara really helps us just lay down the defenses, lay down the armor, put our weapons aside, and actually be present with what is arising. Because if you look at the Buddha and the devil, or anything like me, you feel at more home with the devil than the Buddha. This is a shout out to the outcasts. Any outcasts in the room, right? And I don't want to outcast the parts of myself that may feel bad, wrong, and evil, because I know what that feels like. And so our other option is to love. If you're anything like me, you may have received some confused messages about this in your past. That I was raised on Saturday morning cartoons where He-Man versus Skeletor or the Ninja Turtles versus Shredder. And if the Ninja Turtles could just get Shredder once and for all, the world would be a better place. But unfortunately, the world is way more complex than that. So my mom came for Thanksgiving. She came to visit me from Florida from Thanksgiving. And my mom and my family are very devout Catholics. And she went to church. She brought me back a prayer. And my name is Mikey, like Michael. So she goes, oh, you know, this is the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel. And so she gave me this prayer. And I'll read it to y'all. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him. We humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. I was like, damn, Mom, that is brutal. I was like, that's quite violent, you know. And I so lovingly suggested the prayer of St. Francis instead, you know, something more up my alley. I think I have the prayer of St. Francis right here. I'll just read the beginning of it. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me show love. So where there is hatred, let me show love. And so this is the story of tea with Mara, that we can bring love into the places that have hatred, that the Buddha taught hatred is not appeased by hatred. Hatred is appeased by love. And this is what St. Francis is saying. And I like St. Francis. St. Francis must have done a lot of metta, a lot of loving kindness practice, because they always have images of him with a bunch of animals. And they say that if you do metta practice enough, animals will love you. And so him speaking on love and having the animals around him, the Buddhist tradition says the same thing. So getting to know Mara. In the story of Siddhartha, the Buddha-to-be, he set out to meditate and went through different challenges and insights along the way. But when he finally went to his, you know, final battle before awakening, that he was met with these qualities of the mind that were hindering him. Qualities of hatred would enter his mind, qualities of greed and grasping, qualities of restlessness, qualities of doubt would arise in his mind. And this is really what it's like to be a human. So what happened was he said, "I see you, Mara. I know you, Mara." And so rather than taking our thoughts so personally, taking them as self, or rather than fighting with them, he did this beautiful practice of seeing and knowing the thoughts, and he created this character, this devil character, Mara, as a way that we don't self-identify with the thoughts. Yesterday, I was trying to get here on time because I had to meet somebody here, but it seemed like every turn I took to driving, I live in Donaldson, so getting here is a little bit of tough. Every turn I took, there was construction going on, there's traffic going on, there's a car a big semi truck that just toppled over, and it was just like, fuck, like I can't get where I need to go. And it was just this frustration in my mind. And then it was just, "I see you, Mara. I see you, Mara." And not only seeing Mara, but knowing Mara on an intimate level, that I felt Mara in my body. I felt that restlessness. I felt that anxiety. I felt that pressure. You know when you just can't get things done, and it's just like the pressure of the world's like laying on my shoulders. And I was like, "I know this. I know this." And there was such a relief in just seeing that mind state and knowing it on that level of, oh, there's an impulse in my body. Oh, there's restlessness. I see you. I know you. And rather than believing it, rather than just listening to every story my mind said, I know that's a story. That's a story. And so as the Buddha so-called defeated Mara by seeing and knowing him, the interesting thing was the Buddha became awakened, but Mara kept on coming back. It wasn't like, oh, I wake up and I no longer have these hateful thoughts. I just know these thoughts more clearly on a more intimate level. So the story of tea with Mara, I find is interesting because it's not necessarily a Buddhist story. Buddhists say it a lot, but you can't really find it anywhere in their early Buddhist teachings. That I was listening to a talk that there was this very traditional Buddhist monk who was invited to give a talk at a recovery conference. And they asked him to give a talk on tea with Mara. And he's like, "I have no clue what you're talking about. Tea with Mara, I never heard anything having to do with this." So this is a more modern story of ways of working with these difficult mind states. I don't know who made it up, Tara Brach, Thich Nhat Hanh, one of them, right? So as the Buddha reached his awakening, he was well known in the world that he had his monastery set up, and people would come visit his monastery and go see him and ask the Buddha for advice and meditation instructions and all of that. And the Buddha had a younger assistant. It was his cousin, and his cousin's named Ananda. And Ananda is kind of like the fuck-up of the Buddhist stories. He's willing to get it wrong. And I always appreciate that, and that people are willing to get it wrong because they tend to get the most out of life, right? And so Ananda was assisting the Buddha, and he was kind of almost like, you know, the person at the door that was checking people in to go see the Buddha. And as Ananda's sitting outside of where the Buddha was seeing people, He sees Mara showing up. And Ananda was scared. He's like, "Oh shit, the devil's on his way. I need to do something about this." So as Mara came up, Ananda was like, nah, you need to get out of here. You're evil, you're bad, get out of here. The Buddha doesn't want to see you." And Mara was like, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure the Buddha would like to see me. We're old friends. I was there during his awakening. You know, we go way back." And Ananda was like, no, the Buddha is good, you're evil, get lost. And Mara was like, no, I'm pretty sure we need to see each other. And Ananda said, well, you're the Buddha's enemy. And then Mara was like, wait a minute, you're telling me the Buddha has enemies? That doesn't make any sense. And Ananda said, well, you may be onto something. Let me go talk to the Buddha. And Ananda goes to the Buddha and was like, you would never believe this. This is the wildest shit ever. You know that asshole Mara? He's right outside. And the Buddha was like, well, bring him in. Come on in, Mara. And the Buddha made tea for him, and they sat down, and they had a wonderful conversation about all the greed and hatred that he sprung on him during his awakening and continues to spring on him. And they sat down and had a conversation with each other, right? And really, that's the attitude that has helped me so much. That any of these difficult thoughts, feelings, and emotions that arise that we demonize, let's welcome them in and have tea with them, because it leads to a great deal of understanding. So there's maybe two or three points I want to make on how to do this in a practical manner. If in mindfulness, once again, I do want to reiterate that we know a thought as a thought. As they arise, the impersonal nature of them. And that's why having a character like Mara can help us out, not taking the mind as self, not taking our emotions as self, not taking our impulses as self. And we can say, I see you, Mara. And as soon as we see that Mara is not self, we can begin to get to know him. And in these cases, you don't necessarily need to say, I see you, Mara. You can have different characters. I have plenty of characters in my mind. I give the same example, but I was trying to think of a different example lately. But my one I always give as an example is my internal Antifa. That I have somebody black blocked out with a Mobtail cocktail ready to blow the shit out of somebody up. Because, you know, there's a part of me that really gets activated by injustice. And it's a hypervigilance to look out for injustice. And as soon as I have a perceived injustice, my internal Antifa really dismisses the other person as, you know, they're a sellout. They're racist, they're sexist, there are all of these things, you know, that is very activated. And while this part of me may be helpful at times, other times it really misassigns some really harmful things onto people. So I will go to places of business that are perceived as, you know, corporate sellout places for me. These bloated capitalists and all their money and this, and they want me to teach mindfulness there, and they just want to make a buck off of me. And really, that's just an underlying wound of feeling weird. That's that outcast in me that feels like it doesn't belong. And rather than knowing that on an intimate level, boom, this protector shows up and wants to blow them up just because they have a job, right? So, you know, I want to see that, you know, see that. Okay, that is a thought, that is an aversion, that is a protection. And once I sit down with my internal Antifa, my internal, you know, black block, and sit down and have tea, I can start having a conversation with him. And I could say, you know, what are you here to do? Oh, I'm here to protect you from all the harm in the world. There's so much injustice and harm in this world. Let me protect you. Yeah. And then I could feel, okay, what is this feeling in me? Okay, it feels very activated in my arm, a tingling in my arm, a hollowness in my gut. And I can be in an intimate level with that, the feelings that arise. And then I can start just asking it questions. Oh, what are you afraid will happen if you just don't show up today? Well, let me tell you, you remember this time in middle school when this happened, when those people took advantage of you, when, you know, when you've had that sense of safety taken from you at this point in life, I feel like I really need to be here, because we have so many examples of how the world is unjust, and how much violence is in the world, and how much oppression is in the world. I'm afraid of that, right? And so now we start seeing where Mara starts stepping back, and let me show you why I'm here. Let me show you what examples I have that we've picked up these mind states. Because they're there for a reason. I remember specifically, purposely thinking self-hateful thoughts when I was in middle school. I remember thinking I could hate myself into becoming lovable. And this is what happens. We create these habits in the mind, and the mind gets really used to thinking these thoughts. That's why we do loving kindness practice, to get the mind used to thinking other thoughts. But I remember when I thought I needed to hate myself because I didn't belong, or I needed to conform in some way, and I just couldn't fucking do it. So there must be something wrong with me. So I turned that hatred inward. And now I'm much older. So now can I see that's an old habit? And now I can start shifting my habit. And shifting my habit is, I think, you know, on one level, doing very dry, surface level loving kindness meditation can be helpful. Just create that habit of saying loving thoughts to ourselves, right? But to another degree, I think we may need to go deeper and feel into the feelings that we are afraid of, that we have this conditioned response for an underlying reason, because we believed we needed those Maras in life. And so we sit down and have tea with Mara and say, thank you. Thanks for being there for all of these years. I know I needed you, Mara, in middle school. Thank you. Thank you. I know I needed you when I was going through this difficulty. Thank you. Thank you. And the more we appreciate Mara, the more we understand Mara, and then we can start giving Mara a day off. Mara's exhausted. Mara's like, can I just clock out for a little bit? But Mara won't clock out until we understand Mara, until we know Mara. So sitting down, having tea with Mara in this intimate level that we can see what's underneath Mara. And so I want to do some meditation around this. What I want to do is some compassion meditation. Compassion is the heart's response to pain. I want to do self-compassion, compassion towards ourselves. And what I want to do is go through using our memory. I want to do a little regression. So what we're going to do is have you bring up a certain time in your life, and then we'll keep moving backwards. And what we want to do is welcome in the younger parts of ourselves that may be difficult. The younger parts of ourselves that still may need Mara there. But when we fully integrate the younger parts of ourselves that still need Mara, when we say, yes, you are afraid. Yes, you are sad. Yes, you are disappointed. Mara starts softening a little bit. It's like, that's what I've been hiding from you all along. Thanks for seeing me. And I can take a break. So in compassion meditation, the wise thing is to probably not go for the most terrible thing you've ever been through, right? And what I'm going to do is just bring up younger parts of yourselves. I'm going to use visuals. If visuals work for you, use them. If they don't, that's cool too. But if it ends up being too much, remember the sounds around you. Remember your breath. Remember the body. Remember, open your eyes if you need to back off a little bit. So that's what we need to learn, the bearing down, when it's time to sit with this pain, and when we also need to be wise about it, so knowing when to back off. So just to remain safe, right? This is what we call titration. When to lean in, and if it's too much, just back off. And that's no big deal. But if it feels right to sit with a younger part of yourself and wish well wishes to this younger part of yourself, it gets pretty sweet when we get into the pocket of that. It's like almost scratching an emotional itch. Like, oh, I needed to feel that. Yeah, and we could feel it in the body, and we could feel it in our mind. Sound good? So any questions before we get going? So yeah, finding a way to sit that is comfortable enough, right? Bringing ease into the body. In compassion meditation, we don't have to be so spiritual with the way we sit. We can just find an easeful way to sit. And if it's comfortable for you, allowing your eyes to close. And we can just start with some deep in and out breaths. Just in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just an easeful, regulating breath. In moments of stress and activation, the breath can get quite short. So just remembering a soothing, long inhalation and exhalation, and just giving this body this breath, this soothing, long breath, as many as it needs. And resting in the spaciousness of all the sounds around us. Scanning throughout the body, softening any points of tension held. Softening the brow and the eyes and the jaw. Allowing the shoulders to fall. Softening the belly. Just allowing this body to breathe itself. So now I invite you to bring your awareness to the heart, to the chest. And if it feels right, maybe even putting your hand on your heart, just holding this heart, allowing this heart to be held. And maybe even envisioning that you're breathing in and out from this heart space. With each in and out breath, you're just softening any barriers around the heart. And just having the willingness to live with an undefended heart. To love the fullness of what's in this heart. To be gentle and kind and caring with anything that arises. So just checking in with your deepest intention to be compassionate towards yourself, to be tender and nurturing towards yourself. Saying to yourself, I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you. I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you. I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you. We can expand these phrases to the younger parts of ourselves. So I invite you to bring to mind a younger version of yourself. Some part of you within the past 10 years. More recent, the past 10 years, when were you experiencing great difficulty, sorrow, loss, pain, heartbreak? Just welcoming this version of you in. And saying, I see you. This younger version of you. I see you. Maybe sitting face to face, eye to eye, with this version of you that's experienced difficulties. With this willingness to sit right in front of them, say, I see you. What do they look like? How do they express themselves? I see you. As you see this version of you, getting to know them, I see you and I know you. What is calling to be known with this younger part of you? Bringing in that empathy towards yourself, as if you just open yourself up to be a part of their difficulty. What difficulty is this younger version of you experiencing? And you, more than anyone, can have empathy for this person by saying, I know, I know, I know. I see you and I know you. That sweetness of I know. I know, I know. I see you and I know you. And I feel you, feeling with, feeling in the body as we hold this pain with this younger version of ourselves. I feel you, feeling into the parts of the body that know. What does this feel like in the body? I feel you. I see you. I know you. I feel you. I feel you. Bringing a nurturing heart to this younger version of you with, I care about you. Really bringing the care. I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you. What does this younger version of you need? How can we express care? I love you, I forgive you. Just even giving them a hug in your mind. As we feel into the body and into the heart, allowing this more recent version of you to make their way out. As we rewind, going into the high school age, the teenage version of you, what difficulties you experience in the teenage years, high school age. Just welcoming the teenager living in your heart out and just seeing them. What do they look like? How do they express themselves? Just sitting face to face, eye to eye with the teenage you. Where are they longing to be seen? What needs to be seen right now? And just giving that, I see you. See you, I see you. Just silently saying that to this younger part of you. I see you. What a loving act, just to see this part of yourself. What is calling to be known? This teenage version of you, what validation do they need? So just having that presence to get to know this younger version of you. I know you. I see you and I know you. I see you, I know you, and I feel you, just feeling this teenage version of you. Feeling in your body what's calling to be felt. What difficulties are calling to be intimate with this message of I feel you. I feel you, I feel you. Silently giving that gift to this younger version of you, I feel you. I see you, I know you, I feel you. And I care about you. This willingness of compassion to bring that nurturing care that may have been missed. this missed opportunity for love, of bonding, of security. That tends to happen in the teenage years. Now's the opportunity to fully nurture and bring whatever missed care there was, offering that up now. I care about you. Yes to the difficulties. Yes, and I care about you. Offering that care in whatever way seems right. And if this teenage version of you expresses needs, try to meet those needs the best you can. Holding, caressing, standing up for, well wishes, whatever there is a need. Seems like a good time right now to provide it. Breathing, knowing this body, as we set aside the image of the teenage version of you. As we step back into a younger you, an elementary school age you. In these times, in our early development, we get the bumps and bruises of life, the lost opportunities, the heartbreak and the sorrow as we try to figure out how to navigate through life. So touching into this younger part of you, the elementary school age you, what difficulties did you experience in this age? As we bring, I see you. What did you look like? How did you express yourself? What sorrows, confusions, disappointments did you experience at this age? Let's just have a willingness to see it. I see you, face to face, eye to eye, like you're an older sibling to yourself. That's willing to see this younger part of you. I see you. Bringing that empathy in. I know the difficulties. I know the disappointments, the confusion. I know you. I see you and I know you to this younger part of yourself. I know. I see you, I know you, and I feel you. What's calling to be felt with this younger version of you? Where do you feel this younger version of you in your body? Where do they live? Where does this heart break? Can we feel it? As we tell this younger version, I feel you, I feel you, I feel you. And as we see, know, and feel any missed opportunities for love and connection, hope and bonding that this elementary school version of you missed, we can provide that right now. We can love this part of ourselves that may not feel loved. With, I care about you. Being as caring as possible, just really stretching our imagination for what care could be to this younger part of ourselves. What's the most loving thing we can do for this younger part of ourselves? Checking back in with the breath and with the body. As we let this elementary school version of you make way, saying our goodbyes, and just touching in with the youngest memory you have of yourself, the youngest version of you. It may be foggy. You may not have a memory of seeing. You may just have a sense of feeling. You may have a foggy memory. That's okay. So what's the youngest version of you that experienced disappointment, sorrow, pain? And if you're able to, welcome them in face to face, eye to eye. I see you. And just being that older support, I see you, I see you. And just seeing this younger part of ourselves, this willingness to be with, no longer hiding, I see you. As we integrate them into our experience, I see you, just for the youngest version of ourselves. I see you and I know you. I know you so well. I know you. I know what you feel. I know. Just caressing with, I know, I know, I know. With that true sense of empathy for this younger part of you. I know. I see you and I know you. see you, I know you, and I feel you. Where in your body does this younger part live? Just scanning throughout the body, does this younger part show itself anywhere? And just feeling this younger part in you. I feel you, I feel you, I feel you. To really bring in this loving kindness, this metta, this motherly love the Buddha spoke of. Just being the ideal mother to ourselves as we bring care to this young part of ourselves. What's the ideal way to care right now? Stretching our imagination. How well can I love this younger part of me? Really just being the support for this younger part as we welcome in. I care, I care, I care about you. I care about you, I care about you. How loving can you be to this younger part of you? If you need something, providing that now. As we come back to the breath and the body, and just ending the meditation as we started with some deep in and out breaths, as this younger part of you makes way, and just really having this presence to know when these younger parts arise, I can care for them with deep in and out breaths. Scanning throughout the body, softening as we just tell ourselves, as we are now, I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you. I see you, I know you, I feel you, and I care about you.